On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Take it, man.
That's it, man. I got stage fright.
We're back.
We're up and rolling, baby.
On the grind, baby.
We 99, got, baby.
Want to thank. Cut all over you, man.
It's all right.
Want to thank the many listeners who helpfully and repeatedly pointed out that we've been down a little bit over the last week. But not out, man. Never out.
Because I'm really down. I'm down, down on the ground. How can you laugh when you see I'm down? How can you laugh when you see I'm down? A Beatles tune, I think, redone by Aerosmith on the Permanent Vacation album.
Redone by Rob on the Tall Can Sports.
Check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
I see the stage fright has subsided.
It cooks. Well, I don't really have that. Unless it's peeing in public, I rarely have it.
We won't spend much time on this. But yeah, we had some server issues last week. Delayed us uploading anything new. Delayed you downloading anything new. But we're good.
So we're sorry.
Yeah.
And we missed you.
Yeah. Just like you missed us, no doubt.
For sure.
All the archives are also restored at tallcanaudio.com. So everything should be as it was. And now I would like to hear from you if it isn't. If you're listening on an app that it's not working properly, if things aren't quite everywhere I've been, we're back up and running. But if you're still having, you know what, if you're still having issues, you're probably not hearing this. So fuck it. Let's just move right the hell along now that I think about it. But yeah, if by some, some means you're listening and still having problems or issues, let us know. At Tall Can Audio, there's also a contact page at tallcanaudio.com. So, what's happening, man?
Well, we're running a little sports show here today,
mm-hmm.
and I know we're going to delve into the draft and mm-hmm. thoughts on it and takeaways. We're going to break down all 217 picks.
Obviously,
so,
yeah.
So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen.
Sergei Krivokrasov going 201st overall to Carolina.
Yeah, I really, there's a bunch of that shit that I didn't... pay attention to or really care about.
No, anything Carolina except Patrick Marleau.
But last night I PBR'd the draft, day two of the draft, and so
this I'm sort of committed.
I'm sort of kicking. Well, hey man,
yeah,
I'm interested. We talked about this before. You went nerd, hockey nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's I go in for this
guilty.
Shit. But I was watching. There was a little UFC fight night on from Greenville, South Carolina. How much did you catch any of that?
Nope.
Okay. And really, I just caught the main event.
Otherwise occupied with your brother.
Yeah. So, well, that's a
weird sentence.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, you know what?
And
I'd like to retract.
And his wife, which makes
well,
it
that
even
actually
more.
Helps, doesn't it?
Well, not really.
Okay.
There's sword crossing here. Sorry about that.
Yep. Wish I hadn't brought that up.
Anyways, the main event was a featherweight, so the 145s. It was Renato Moicano, right, Brazilian?
Yep.
And the Korean zombie, not Byun Hyung Kim, but another one.
Something similar to
yes, very similar. Anyways, it was fucking dynamite.
You know that little Asian guy is going to do something crazy.
Well, he walked out and he looks like he could be your math teacher. He's got the little part in his hair. And that's what, and I think it was Bisping was doing the color. And he's like, do not be fooled by that easygoing demeanor. Anyways, then Moicano was on there saying, yeah, I know he can submit guys. I know he can finish guys. He said, but I believe I'm better than him in all facets of the game.
Wow.
Love right. That. And so yeah. Moicano is 13-2, I believe. Yeah. Right. And so, and he's beat some good guys.
Right.
Anyways, he got clipped 58 seconds in.
Oh, fuck.
Like, honestly, an overhand right from the Korean Zombie put him down. Like, honestly. And he was on him like a fat kid in an ice cream cone. And really, it was just, and I'm not I don't watch for the knockouts.
Right. Really?
I like the grappling. Yeah. To me, yeah. I love the submissions.
We've talked about this before on the show. You got into MMA long before I did. And, you know, I was far more casual about it even then while I was in college, while it was exploding, right, with GSP and that Anderson Silva and some of these guys. And so I'm watching it as a far more casual fan, and I'm sort of getting an understanding of it, but I'm still good with the spectacular
For sure.
Knockouts.
For sure, but I'm not watching, and if it goes to the ground, boom.
Right. At that time early on, you had a far better understanding of what was happening on the ground than I did.
Right.
And that, so I wasn't looking for that. Now, as I watched more and more, you start to get it, but I still think there's a sizable. Around that same age, you'll know exactly the fight I'm talking about when it was Mirko Krokop versus
Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yeah,
the head kick.
Yep, and
yeah, everybody watches that. And goes,
sure.
Oh
no. Okay, so I'm watching that live because that was in Europe, I believe, and so I'm watching that. Or maybe I'm watching like the best damn sports show period I can remember was on at the time. But I'm trying to get my buddy Ty into fighting. He's like, I just don't get it. I don't whatever. But we got this on in this hotel in Calgary where we're hanging out, and that goes down. He's like, okay, that was pretty fucking cool, right? Like, I don't think I can watch a whole night of this, but if you could just show me a bunch of those.
In true Ty fashion, did he turn it off and go, yeah, I get it?
No.
Okay.
No. He was fired up, man.
Okay.
You watch a man get fucking crippled like that, knocked out, and land on your leg and break it.
And especially as a guy who, in Krokop, who was a kickboxer,
who
was a notorious, that was his deal.
And that shot of Gonzaga walking towards the camera screaming now lives forever in all their intros and stuff.
Well,
right?
Like, he's big, my God, scary, that guy's crazy.
I would never fight that fucking guy.
When he's got that Brazilian look where he's almost green.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that is, but
right.
I think it's the water. I think it's the water in that area. Anyways, he caught him with that overhand right, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 inches back from the chin.
Yeah.
Click.
The off button.
Down he went. And you're like, yeah, to watch that and two guys who are... And Moicano comes in saying, yeah, I got to watch his right. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you do. And that's what Bisping said. He's like, I know a little bit about that. Right? It's like me walking into Dan Henderson's right.
I wish I caught that.
Oh.
Bisping would be good on commentary. Like, he's a entertaining guy.
Yeah, so it was a fight night, right? So they had the B crew there.
Just had one of those here in Ottawa a month or so ago.
Right. So, anyways, super interesting. And I'd sort of flipped over to the... You know, after having AJ in here last week and him ranting about, you know, the so-called experts piling on the Red Blacks, you know, saying they're going to finish eighth or ninth in the league.
Yeah.
And to watch, first of all, you sort of go, behind Montreal, I don't get that at all. Like, I don't know how many people Ottawa would have to lose to be behind Montreal.
Right.
But Toronto, you know, they are running with James Franklin as their starting quarterback.
Yep.
And they just got a 64 spot put on them by the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Like, that's the most they've ever allowed. And this is a 100-plus-year franchise.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Who are the people who think they know the sport? Like, I've casually watched the CFL since I was young.
Yeah.
And the one thing I do know about the CFL, and you can put it in a fucking hat, is... You never know from year to year what you really have. You know Calgary's probably going to be good.
There's always a bunch of turnover. There's always some influx. There's always guys you don't know shit about.
And it's so much about name recognition.
Yes.
Right? You go, that team's got a bunch of guys that I know all about.
Yeah.
Right? And those guys I don't know anything about. They're going to suck. And you're like, really? What?
what are you putting into it in terms of research and, and understanding? So to me, I don't know where it's going to shake out. I really don't. But any team that's going to allow 64 points and wasn't that great last year, you're like, come on, man.
I was there in, I think it was 05. There was always a home and home, right? The Labor Day game was in Hamilton, but then there would be the return in Toronto the next. And Toronto shut out Hamilton, I believe, 52-0. And I remember being blown away going, how do you not score 1 point? At the time, I don't know if I'd ever seen that before in the CFL, a shutout, right? Just kick it through the fucking net. Yeah. Get on the board, man.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Now that fat foot is on, his shoe is on the other fat foot, right?
Because
Hamilton's now putting the beat down on the Argonauts.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was really, you asked me what was going on about 10 minutes ago, probably. That's what's going on. What's going on with you, man?
Well, before we jump off that, because nothing's going on with me, man. I'm not an interesting person.
You are a recent birthday boy, though.
That's true. And that's why you didn't hear anything crack on this side of the table. I'm into the rum right now. There's a little bit of the hair of the dog thing going on after, you know, a long day yesterday doing the birthday thing. So it was good. Thanks for asking.
There was a tray of chocolate brownies that came over here too, I think, when I...
We're going to crack into that and see how special they are in a little while.
No, I'm leaving those all for you, man.
Sweet. Even better. It just got extra special.
Yeah.
Before we move off the CFL thing, the Red Blacks are 2-0, and AJ, at AJ on Sports on Twitter, he was here, he was bullish on the Red Blacks, and as you said, kind of shouting down the experts of...
Who were shouting him down, right?
I guess. The Esks are also 2-0. Somehow BC, 0-2. Like, what's jumping out at you early on? Is any of this shocking, or is it too early to really read too much into it?
I think it's so volatile, I think, right? People were looking at, depending on what you saw, I think Saskatchewan being 0-2 is also a bit surprising. Now, you know what? Being without, his name escapes
Caleros.
Me. Caleros, Zach Caleros, right, is...
Now, their backup, pretty admirable here in Ottawa.
Fajardo,
yeah.
Which you're like, are you serious? Is that not
That's
a soft
not real.
J? Is that not Fajardo?
Fajardo.
But no, it's Fajardo, right? The guy was lights out. And that was a game here in Ottawa where the teams came in. Now, granted, 1 week in.
Yeah.
Number one and number two defenses. And you're like, okay, first-year quarterbacks, really good defenses.
Yep.
The over-under was 44, I believe, and they eclipsed that in the first half.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if that's not having enough film on these guys. I do know that Ottawa tried to stack the box to stop Willie P in his return to Ottawa, right, which may have opened up some of the room in the secondary. But, man, to put up a 44-41 final, like one team hit the over-under, right, let alone the other 41 points.
Right.
But yeah, Ottawa 2-0, and I don't know what it means.
No.
Right? I know they went out and they punched Calgary right in the mouth, right?
Yep.
With allowing 0 points in the second, well, for sure the fourth quarter.
Also tossed 4 interceptions.
Yeah, and
all to the same guy.
And threw none. And threw no touchdowns.
Yep.
But you still win.
Yep.
Right? And I think in a place where Ottawa's never won.
Right.
Right? If you can go out and you can just give them the 1-2 ka-cha, and then get out of town, you're like,
no, for sure, take that and run, man. Head
right.
To the
and then again, you sort of stick it to what was supposed to be a very good defense in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ottawa, they come back, they're on a bye now. So you get to iron out some of the problems and you see a very tough Winnipeg team coming in here again.
Yeah.
Like a week and a half from now, Friday night. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see that'll be the real test. Winnipeg will be rolling.
A lot of people picked them to win it all this year, right?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
So.
And on the CFL panel, for sure, I know Homer Milt Stegall, right? He was calling for it. We'll see. Whereas I think Henry Burris had Hamilton winning.
Okay.
But neither here nor there.
Yep.
That's really what's jumping out to me. And I haven't watched a lot. I meant to check into that BC Edmonton game.
Right.
Because I wanted to see BC stick it to the Eskimos. Right. Red Blacks West, as we like to call them. Right. Just keep going. Right.
Yep.
We're ahead of the curve, Edmonton, just so you know. Right.
Taking our scrap.
Yeah.
When we're done with
exactly.
Them.
We're moving on. See you later. So you can take, or your head coach, your starting quarterback, you know.
I saw when the Red Blacks went 2-0, and someone, I think they meant this to be a compliment. I sure didn't take it as one. And they said, Dominique Davis, man, he's, you know, rebounded here pretty well. Reminds me of Michael Bishop. I'm like, no, that's not what you're looking like. And I remember Michael Bishop being the backup to Damon Allen for his couple of years in Toronto, right. And they're ready to hand it over. And he had a gun for an arm, but he'd throw it into just about anybody on the other team.
Yeah. Right? And were they talking about his athleticism?
Yeah, is that for sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, that was the intended. What I'm like, man, if that's
reminds me of a young Andre Ware.
If that's the ceiling, this is going to be a problem, right? And I see what they were trying to say, but as a, you know, a backup for a couple of years and then getting your chance and these sorts of things. But that's, if that's what Dominique Davis is going to turn out to be, Ottawa's in trouble. Yeah.
Well, and see, I think most people sort of forget or don't know, unless you're of the hardcore CFL variety,
right?
He spent 2 years as a backup, I believe, in Winnipeg, or at least maybe even third string.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Right, so a couple of years in Winnipeg, a year last year behind, you know, as the third and one guy, right? He was here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So you knew he was going to be athletic, and he was going to have to be playing behind that Canadian line.
Yeah.
And now they've been okay.
Yep.
So,
oh, for sure.
So to me, there's lots of interesting things, and I'll wait, right? Usually once, this is a heavy, in my great segue, this is a heavy hockey period, right? For me.
Yep.
Once you get through the Stanley Cup, you get through the combine, you get through the draft, and then free agency, shit cools down on the hockey front, and then you sort of move into more CFL, and I'll check in with the Jays at that point.
See, it's going to be a lot more CFL than Jays for me this year. Yeah. I think.
Well, we'll see what Cavan.
Biggio.
Yeah, but again, why can't you just be Cavan? It's like Cavan, right? It's. Anyways, I'll check in with them and see where the young guys are, see if they've flipped Sanchez or Stroman by that point. And
well, let's not glaze over that just briefly, because the pitching for the Jays has been so bleak. And they don't have, like, they've got some really nice prospects coming, but none on really on the pitching side, except for maybe Nate Pearson. Do you think there's some logic into holding on to Stroh, or is that a fait accompli they're going to deal that fucking guy
I think he's been as good as they have.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I think you hold on to him till close to the deadline. So whatever that is, August 1st or early in August,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When it's going to be at its best, right? And you can flip him to somebody.
I'm leaning towards trying to re-sign him. He's interested in staying. He's embraced it.
Is
in his egotistical way. He's embraced the Toronto thing, the Canada thing. And not everybody loves him. But man, you got to have somebody to pitch. Like,
you can't
keep trotting out Clayton Richard. Like, this is going terribly, right? Like,
yeah.
At some point,
and your 13 ERA, buddy, whatever's going on there, stop that.
And Edwin Jackson, like,
Edwin Jackson, stop it. Yeah,
This is where I always want to drop that Simpsons video. He's already dead.
Yeah, right? Like, and you're like, I thought Grilly took the gas can with him. Like gas can Grilly,
yeah.
It's now become gas can Jackson.
For sure,
right?
Man.
I mean, you're like, oh my god, man, that is worse. Stop.
To me, I'd be willing to pay Stroh just so there's somebody on that staff to.
Yeah, I keep hearing that he just wants to get out. He's like, this is no fun here.
Well, he's probably right about that.
Yeah, well, I get it.
Like Ryan O'Reilly, right? Losing sucks. Well, then fuck you. That's my favorite Buffalo Sabres moment. Oh, you don't want to lose? Then you're out of here.
Well, and again, as we start to segue over, if you are Pegula, or any of the Pegulas, right?
Buffalo Sabres owners.
And you're looking at it and you're going, everybody keeps saying it's hard to make trades.
Yeah.
And you go, you look at what certain teams are doing. You certainly look at what St. Louis did to bolster their team. Thank you.
Buffalo.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa. And what Washington has been able to do over the past couple of years, and you're like, how's this shit happening?
Doug Wilson.
Elsewhere.
If Doug Wilson and the San Jose Sharks phone you, don't answer it, man. He's going to fuck you.
Yeah, like, this is exactly right. Hello, hello, Pierre in Orleans. We're talking directly to you.
Okay, but not like whole. He's
Michael Bodker over the picks that you could have got elsewhere. Hello. Now you're looking to get rid of Bodker and his $4 million.
Yeah, making trades are hard because there's some good GMs out there that are willing to fuck you.
Doug Armstrong, Wilson, Lamorello, those guys. Don't deal with those guys.
I don't even know if I put Lou in that class anymore. He's gotten a little senile compared to.
But, all right. But to me, you don't get rid of Dion Phaneuf.
That's true.
If it's not for Lou.
I've said a bunch of times for the Leafs thing. He was perfect to come in here while we were tearing it down because he's ruthless and he's heartless and he's sorry. Don't care if you're the most popular player in town. You're gone, right? Like, don't care if you just settled your family here. You're gone. Whatever. It's the build back up where he had to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, and see you later.
Yeah.
Sayonara, Lou.
Right. And we'll get to it, but we're still untying some of the messes he's made here a little bit since then. But to me, when you look at some of the GMs in this league, right? Like, we ripped Joe Sakic for a long time for missing the boat on Matt Duchene. That came around and turned out okay. And since then, they've made some shrewd moves. And when we get into the draft, there's a lot of people that know better than you and I on the draft that say they cleaned up in the first round.
That they actually may have had the best first
round. Yeah. So, you know, for a long time, Joe Sakic was kind of viewed as maybe the, you know, he's just one of those players, similar to Patrick Waugh, right? You're just letting these old players run it, and it's not going, like the Oilers were doing a bit.
But since then, now, you know who the new Joe Sakic is?
I don't.
Rob Blake.
Okay.
Rob Blake is that guy you're looking at going, you're terrible at this. Hey, stop that.
Do you want to jump right into the draft, or did anything kind of last week in terms of some of the deal, like Philly picked up Justin Braun?
And Niskanen?
Matt Niskanen. To me, he's fallen off a bit. Like, I liked that deal for Washington, picking up Gudas at half the...
Okay, for sure, because it frees up cap.
Yeah.
You are going to me, it worked. To me, it works for both.
Okay.
Right? That if Philly was in on that Carlson deal or not, and by nothing I've read other than what I keep saying, would suggest that Philly was in on
Can't
it.
I can't believe they weren't following my
but,
game.
But to me, it's no coincidence, though, the Rangers, like the Flyers, as soon as Carlson inks in San Jose, for way more money than either
yes.
one of
them. Yes, hey, and term.
As one good listener had suggested back in a Q&A show, I am absolutely willing to eat shit on that Carlson thing. I had no belief whatsoever that he would get 8 years.
Me neither.
Let alone $92 million. Right. Like 11.5 or whatever that is. You're like,
I'm willing to pay the fuck out of that guy for 3 years.
Yeah.
Or take him for eight at half of what they offered him, right?
Like, well, and again, so
how do you get both?
I still agree.
Maybe Doug Wilson's not as good as what we
thought. Well, to me, and we'll get to the Leaf thing later.
Yeah.
To me, your window's now.
Yes.
Right? I need that guy. And if I only can happen for 3 years, well, I'm going to suck in 3 or 4 years anyways.
Right.
So I need him now. And if this is what it was going to take, but man, that is a huge. So, but anyways, as I said, to me, there's no coincidence that the Rangers pull the Trouba deal.
Yes.
And the Flyers go out and trade for Braun. Now they needed to trade for Braun because San Jose needed to free up that space.
Yes. Yeah.
But that you're bolstering the back end of your D. You know, you and I feel differently about Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
But, you know, Provorov had a down season. He's going to be better.
I think so, too.
To me, they have bolstered the back end of their decor with what looks like a pretty decent up front.
I'm just not sure Niskanen isn't on the back end of his.
Yeah. No, I agree. But to me, they needed something.
Yep.
Right? Because it was an absolute ghost town.
What do you think of the Rangers? They went out, they pick up Trouba. It's only been a few weeks since they got Fox out of Carolina, right? He had come from Calgary. He's a college kid, said he wasn't going to sign in Carolina.
They're looking to peddle Jimmy Vesey, who was supposed to be the next coming, yes. at least the next Tyler Bozak anyways.
Yeah.
Who doesn't aspire to such heady titles?
Yeah, exactly.
One year at a Toronto, and I'm a cup winner, baby.
They just, in the draft, get Kaapo Kakko, who I think most people were still on the track that Hughes was the number one pick, but Kakko would close the gap in a big way, that's a great pick for them. Like, that rebuild is in hyperdrive. Like, they're going to be good really soon.
And you've touched on it. So to me, the Trouba thing, I like Trouba. And I think that they're able to flip Pionk.
Pionk.
And Winnipeg's first. Like, you've got that.
Yes. Here, so just take that back. Give me a guy.
And give me Trouba.
Right.
Right. So they essentially parlayed Kevin Hayes into Trouba and a first. Not
the first. But
Trouba.
Yep. That's fine.
And if you
And then
could,
they're going to lock him up.
Well, and then Philly, that's the other thing. Sorry. Philly fucking overpaid that guy at $7 million.
Hayes? Yeah.
He's had one 50-point season and a bunch of 35 to 40-point seasons.
Well, and that got all the Leaf fans excited. We're like, what do you want? You want Willie at 22 years old at 6.9 and 2 years at 60
and again,
points?
It's such a double-edged sword,
of
right?
Course.
You go, well, then what does that make Marner worth? And you're all right. And I want Nylander over Hayes.
Of course.
Now, I like Hayes' two-way game better.
Yeah.
But I like Nylander's offensive upside.
And,
yeah, for sure.
All
right?
That stuff.
Well, and Hayes is not an old guy.
No.
But.
Well, he's 27.
I don't think he's that old.
Well, he was going to be UFA, so he had to be at least 27.
Or 27. Six.
Let's not,
Let's not get bogged down on the details.
Of Kevin Hayes.
Yes. But okay, and as we keep flipping it around, I love what the Rangers did, right?
I do too.
When you take in Pionk an NCAA.
He's just a free agent.
Free agent.
Yeah.
And you play for a year and you're like a serviceable defenseman, you know, you have maybe a little upside. But you flip him and Winnipeg's first that you got for Hayes and you flip him for a guy like Trouba.
Yeah, who everyone knew. Like, that was another thing. I don't want to make this too Leaf centric, but Leaf fans, how do we not have more than that to give? Because he doesn't want to fucking sign here. He made it
American
perfectly
kid.
Clear he wanted to go back to the States. Yeah. So, you know.
And he's been complaining about his spot.
It's bad Wi-Fi in Winnipeg.
Yeah, and it's bad juju. It's and his spot, right?
Yeah,
where he is in the rotation,
right?
So
he's going to be a number one. I have a feeling the Rangers are going to buy out Shattenkirk. Like, that's been a disaster. You know, could you find someone who will take him and you'll eat half? The Rangers can afford to do that.
He's
for
a Jeff
while.
Blake or
Jason Blake.
Jason Blake, that guy too.
Yes,
he's him. Or I'm trying to think of what was that. Habs defenseman who signed in Toronto.
Mike Komisarek. That went really well, man.
Who was one of those guys where you go, man, he is, you know, he was 200 shot blocks, 200 hits. And you're like, fuck, that guy's a stud.
Turns out being completely carried by Andre Markov.
And then he flips over and you're like, oof. Oh, and he got dummied again by Lucic. And you're like, all right. Right? But Jason Blake coming from the Islanders as a free agent, you're like, coming off a 40-goal season, you're like, he's going to kill it. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Not so much.
You know, Jeff O'Neill, Jason Allison, any of those guys, you're like, oh.
It's gotten very Leaf-centric all of a sudden.
Hey, that's you, man. That's your bag.
It's
true. I'm helping you out.
I don't like this.
Okay.
It's not much fun anymore.
Okay, but so to me, I love what the Rangers have done.
Yeah,
and
too.
Again, the Capo Caco, if you look at.
It's a fun name, man.
It for sure it is.
I want to talk about him a lot.
Well, as he gets announced at the draft, I'm looking at his parents going, really? Your name was fucking Kako and you named him Kapo?
Like, but maybe in Finland it sounds good.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like
here it sounds like shit. But.
Yeah, it sounds like banana hot dog. I'm like, honestly, guys, what's wrong with you? Why?
I judge you, Kakos.
Yeah. Kakai, they prefer to go by.
Of course.
And so if you look at, like, they keep talking about Jack Hughes and how he's crushed it on the U.S. National Developmental Program, USNDPTQ, whatever.
Sure.
Honestly, like LGBTQ.
Yeah. It's American Pride Week.
This is it. And so you go, Kaka was a guy who crushed all 18-year-old records in the Finnish First Division.
Right.
Or Liga, more than Barkov, more than Laine, in terms of what he's achieved. And you go, well, everybody has these varying degrees of success. And you're like, it's guys at that age are just better all the time now.
Are you surprised that Jack Hughes is going to be the first kid to go straight? Like, they kept throwing down, he'll be the first kid to play in the league next year. And he will play in the league next year. But going straight from the U.S. National Development Program into the NHL, and you look back at some of the guys that have been on that team, you know, the most recent one being Austin Matthews, but he went to Zurich for a year before going into the NHL. And you start to look at some of these, you know, Patrick Kane played for the London Knights instead. You look at some of these top end.
What about fat, filthy Phil Kessel?
I don't think the National Development Program was around yet, was it?
Yeah, his goal scoring totals were the ones that were eclipsed by Cole Caulfield.
Okay. I don't know then, did he play in Providence for a year or where did he go? They did say that he'll be the first kid to go directly from.
Yeah, no, I think Phil may have went to
university,
the NCAA route.
Right.
And so this is one of the things that stuck with me when they talk about the dominance of the U.S. and
they had a hell of a first round,
right? Seven guys or whatever it was that went in the first.
Yeah.
How many USHL guys went in the first?
I don't know. I assume you.
How many NCAA guys went in the first?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think any of either.
Okay.
Right. And so in the past, there's been a plethora of guys. Ooh. Coming out of the NCAA, right? When you talk about American kids, you're like, yeah, that kid played in Wisconsin. That kid played in Minnesota.
Right.
And so Boston College, and you sort of go, there just seem to be more kids in that and not in university.
Yeah.
Right. That just seemed to be.
But where what do you think about that? Like, do you like that idea of centralizing your top guys? And
well, you remember, and it's still in Ann Arbor, right?
Yep.
They've been doing that for. Like Jack Johnson and Eric Johnson, they were all there as well.
I think at that point, not that it matters, I think they were still in Colorado then before moving to Ann Arbor. But yeah, they've been centralizing for a while. But
hot
I think
housing is what they were calling it.
It's become, you know, easier to get more and more of the top guys to do it and maybe pass on university. And I think that team then goes and plays some USHL teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think
it seems to be working.
Yeah, okay. And to me, it's like, they have the same number, or they've surpassed us in registrants.
Yes.
Across the country,
mm-hmm.
Right? 600,000 to 550 or whatever it is. If you were to take the 20 best Canadian kids,
right.
Or 40 best, right? I think they have two tiers, I believe, age groups.
Yeah.
What would that look like? Would the first round be dominated by guys who are crushing it? Like, think about it. Why it would never work.
Right.
First of all, because the CHL would
say. The business model of the CHL.
Hey,
yeah, you're not taking our fucking guys.
The 40 best.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
No.
Yeah. So to me, it seems to be more successful, right? But it didn't matter who you were talking about, whether it was Hughes or it was Caulfield or Zegras or any of those.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those guys, right? Where you sort of go Turcotte, York, but just over and over and over again, right? And you go.
Well, the Dub had a big night too, right? So I think it's just one of those.
It's cyclical for sure.
Yeah, one of those years where, you know, I think they said this is the longest in NHL draft history it took for an OHL guy to go. Maybe next year, there's 5 out of 10. They're from the O, right? In the top 10. So, it's one of those years maybe. But Canadians should get used to the idea that, like a lot of these sports, we're going to be seeing more and more and more, even just based on population, right?
For
Americans
sure.
going.
For sure. Well, the Americans are no longer coming.
No.
They're here.
Yep.
Right? That's it. Hughes and Kako, there's no surprise there, right? To me, shit got interesting as we worked our way out from there. Right? And I can't believe that Chicago at number 3 didn't take Byram. With the way their decor is,
yeah,
right. And Keith is not getting any younger.
No,
right. So you go, we got Duncan Keith still, we're good. Right.
Well, they're starting to lean more and more on Michael Gustafson. I think it's Michael. But yeah, the turnover there, like, man, the fact that seemed like a slam dunk pick, right, was to take that kid. He's been on the rise. He's playing great. I think everybody assumed by the end of it that he would be the guy, and I forget the kid's name, Dak, that they took ahead of him.
Kirby, and Doc, Dak.
Kirby. It's not a good name.
I don't know. Maybe that may not even be his name.
Okay. Well, let's,
sounds right though, doesn't it?
Let's not bash him too hard for it. It does, yeah. I don't know what the thought process is. They all said the draft would begin at 3. We all knew who the first two were, and you're kind of like, right. And it didn't take long. You're getting to Detroit, and they're going way the fuck off the board.
Well, and that is...
For some German kid.
Yeah.
Moritz.
Moritz.
Yeah.
Sider.
Right.
And you go, that guy's a...
There were people who had him...
30.
Yeah.
28.
Second round.
Yeah. Well, he had himself there.
Okay.
He's like, he's like, when they called my name, I was like,
what's dressed?
He's like, what is this? Like, what's happening? Yeah. What? I'm confused.
Yeah.
And you're like,
really? You're picking me?
That's a bad pick. Draw again is too much pressure for me. Now, granted, if you're going to be in the Wings organization, you know they're going to bury you in Grand Rapids or wherever it is for what, 4 years anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
You'll play in the Bundesliga one more year, and then they'll come over and you'll spend 3 years marinating in Grand Rapids. So it doesn't matter. But that's one of those picks where you go, Steve, what are you doing?
What you doing, buddy?
Right. Whereas as Joe picking...
Four,
Bowen Byram, right?
Yeah, and with the fourth pick, yeah.
You slide him in with what is quickly becoming...
Well, Cale Makar showing in the playoffs already what he did. They've already got Connor Timmins if he gets healthy.
Right,
you know,
Samuel Girard, right? And you look and you go, now...
You can start to understand why Tyson Berry's on the trade
block.
Well,
this is it, right? If you have a team where Tyson Berry has now become...
Expendable.
Somewhat expendable, you've gone from, I don't know, was it last year when we were laughing hysterically at their decor? They
that's
had five
and a laugh.
They had five guys under contract.
That's 2 years ago, but yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? You can't even fill out a core going into training camp.
And one of them was Jared.
Yeah,
Jared Cowan.
Pro tryout.
You're like, that's your fifth guy? Yeah. You don't even have a full decor. You guys are ridiculous.
Idiots.
Yeah, now you go,
oh. That's pretty good.
Well, and when you have...
They're going to be scary good, eh?
Well, like, this is it. And you go, Joe, sorry about that. You haven't aged well, Joe, but...
Right. But they bring in Cale Makar in the first round of the playoffs. He starts to show... You know, Timmins has been banged up a bit, but he's a top-tier, top-four kind of prospect. And now they're adding this guy who, most of the experts would suggest was the top defenseman in the draft. Man, that Colorado team is turning it around fast and... Like,
what you doing with your goalie there, buddy?
Well, there is that, right? You can't have it all.
No, you can't. But as long as you still want to win 7-5, you're probably going to be fine.
Yeah, because you've also got Nathan MacKinnon making like $6 million for some reason.
Yes,
like,
about $3 million less than
Rantanen. Fire your fucking agent.
But a bunch of guys like that, it just went...
Just missed the boat, just
Marchand,
missed it.
Marchand, Gaudreau, Pasternak, those guys going, what the fuck is happening here? That guy's a stiff, and he's making $2.5 million year more than me.
Who else in terms of Canadian? We'll get to Ottawa, I guess, in a minute because we both, I'm sure, have some stuff to say on that. Who else in the first round, other than them, stood out to you? I kind of liked. Most people would suggest it was a gift that for the Habs that Caulfield fell that far. Like a lot of people had him as a top. Six or seven kind of guy.
And he had 75 goals, I think.
Right.
Which broke the record by 15 or 17 goals, which was either Matthews or Kessel. I can't remember which one it was. But like not just like, ooh, I eked by.
Right.
No, I've scored
smashed.
A full, totally smashed it. Now, granted, that comes with when you have the depth of talent that they had on that roster.
Yeah.
Clearly... Iron sharpens iron, right? And you're getting fat off of everybody's skill level.
Yep.
But he's small.
He is.
And you've now added him.
Another small skilled
to a
winger.
Crazy small team. And now you got to take him, right? I think.
Yeah, I think that was that's a great pick for them that they can get him at that point.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And I don't disagree with you, right? Yeah. That is that whole I take best talent.
Right.
But man, you wonder.
Yeah.
Long term, what happens? And again, I don't think the game changes on the way St. Louis and Washington won because essentially it's the decor of St. Louis that was big and long, right?
Yep.
Not necessarily the forwards.
Right.
Although they forechecked like mofos.
Yep.
Yes.
You can do that with small guys.
Right. Well, because the Leafs also went that way, right?
Yep.
They didn't have a first, but they certainly went with smaller
more skill, more talent. Yeah.
Right.
We drafted more guys named Nicholas than we did guys over 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
Big on Nicholas.
Yeah. Makes Dubas feel tall.
For sure. I saw people unhappy. We'll get to the Leafs wheeling and dealing here a little later on. People online this weekend had started calling it Millhouse.
Okay. That works.
The fan base is turning, man. It's Coach Corner Gas and GM Millhouse.
Well, this is it, right? We're down on the coach, and we're getting to be – you're next.
No, for sure.
Doobie. I'm interested in really, I think, Bud Colson in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right? And people saying top five talent.
Yep.
And, okay, anytime you hear that, that's like but.
Yep.
Right? You go, top five talent.
Didn't go top five.
Why did he not go top five?
Yep.
And you're like, and then, Sam Cosentino, I respect his knowledge of the junior leagues.
Yep.
Especially he's in it. He's immersed in it all
for
the time.
For sure.
And in case you want to have him on the show, I'm not going to run him down. But to say, Vila, watch this video pack. And these are the things I like about him, right? Somebody runs his teammate and he goes over and he headbutts the guy. And you're like, really? That's cheap.
That's our guy.
And that's dirty, right? You're saying that shows grit. That does not show grit, right? Yeah. Another one where he went by and he speared a guy. Or what? And you're like.
Highlights are limited coming out of the KHL.
That's dirty and not good. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I go in for.
No.
And so.
So apparently the big thing there is he's locked into the KHL for two more years.
Saint Petersburg, who is notoriously hard to deal with and doesn't give up their players.
So if you believed that he was probably going to spend a year in the minors anyway, and maybe it's not a big deal if you believe he's the best player available, just let him do his 2 years there. I think as we go through this, what you and I know about the draft is what we've read other people saying about the draft, right?
Yeah, in terms of for sure. But I think you and I have both read
enough. Yes.
Right. So you watch it and you hear what the talking heads on the show are saying. But we've also both read enough stuff pre and post draft to have a firmer, fuller appreciation. Like when you look at, and we'll talk about it, how certain guys are ranked by certain things. Like you sent me a couple things and you go, well, how does that guy have him at 30 and that guy have him at 88?
Right. Yeah.
And you go,
it's not an exact science.
It certainly is not. Now, usually you can sort of go, and you throw them all together and you go, all right.
Somewhere in the 45 range then.
Right.
Or
this,
whatever.
This is exactly right. And so you sort of go, I get it. A little consensus.
Yeah.
But that to me is interesting. And when you couple that with them flipping out their first for JT Miller.
Yeah. Okay.
And what are you doing now?
You're intentionally helping Tampa further.
You are rebuilding, and you're taking in another guy who's overpaid,
not,
who you shouldn't have.
You
and
should
you're
not
flipping
be trading
out your first. When you're because they are still, they're ahead of Ottawa, but not by much.
Right. So that's a conditional first, and the first is if they miss the playoffs next year, it becomes a first round pick for the year after.
An unconditional.
And you know what that means? That's a GM saying, if we miss the playoffs this year, I'm fucking gone. I'll be fired, and I don't care if we don't have a first-round pick the year after that. Like, that's not going to be my problem anymore. Like, I got to make this happen now.
Because not all
JT Miller, all
not all conditional versus unconditional picks, because if we look at Toronto, when we get into that, right? Toronto's conditional is if it's a top 10, we're keeping it. But you know Toronto's not going to be a top 10 next year.
Right.
Like, shit would have to really go sideways. Yeah. Whereas Vancouver... You could
go either way, man.
Well, I don't think they make the playoffs
next
year.
I don't either.
So to me...
But to me, that's Jim Benning saying, I'm fired if we don't make the playoffs. So,
But certainly the Aquilinis can't be that short-sighted. Take a look around, man. You are not a lock to make the playoffs next year.
No.
You're D. If you're loading all your money into Alex Edler for two more years, and that's your linchpin, right? Who you got in goal? You still trotting out Markstrom and whoever else you can get your hands on?
I wonder if,
Hamburglar?
I think they're hoping to get to Demko here soon, but I don't know if he's ready or not. Right?
Well, Chris.
Certainly wasn't Mikey.
DiPietro.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Shelled that kid.
Yeah, you had to bring that kid up from junior.
Yeah, and that did not go well. So you probably set him back a year or so.
Well, that's it. So you're that thin, right? That's what you guys are doing? Come on, man. You need those firsts more than ever now. Because it's not like JT Miller is going to come in and go, and he's going to light you up. He's going to play on your third line.
Yeah.
Really, come on, Benning.
And you know Tampa's in a jam. You're giving them a first for that? Like, they give you a first for that deal, right? They need to clear that fucking
money.
You
don't fire me. I fire you. Yeah, this is it. Like, what are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Bim like, Jenning.
Well, so this is it, right? And you sort of go, psh, Tampa, man. And you hear the analogy all the time. It's a cruel business, right? When you're in trouble, a la Toronto, a la Tampa, people don't throw you life preservers. They throw you anchors.
For sure.
Well, okay, clearly not.
No, some teams.
There's a life preserver right there.
Yeah.
You go, okay, you know what? I'll help you out. Because if we contrast that, and let's move directly into the Leafs. And when you're talking about the flipping of firsts, right? And having to pay a hard price, if you look at exactly what the Leafs did, right? In terms of they've had to pay a steep price to lose that Marlowe contract. But to me, it's perfect. This is the time. It is steep, and I agree with you. You texted me that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it, you have already taken all of your high picks. You've done what Vancouver should be doing, right?
Yeah.
You've collected your Nylanders, your Matthews, your Marners, your Kapanens, your Johansons, Johansons, whatever his name is.
Johnson, yeah.
And you've already picked those. And so while you would like to have your first, if you can flip that first for next year, which is going to be in the mid-20s probably.
You'd hope, yeah.
Yeah, then do it. Right? Like it is a steep price.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's not.
No.
But this is the time when if that's going to give you $6.5 million, that's going to allow you to sign, you know, Johnson, Kapanen, and go towards Marner.
Right.
Without whatever else they have to do. To me, that's a hard price.
Yeah.
But Toronto has, you know, bit down on the leather there.
Sure. And didn't, as you've said, you didn't have a whole lot of choice if you wanted to get some of this. You know, you can kind of paint this because McKenzie is now reporting Kapanen's getting done at 3.2 for 3 years. Johnson's getting
done. That's good.
That's good value. And Johnson at 3.4 mil for 4 years. If you want to look at it this way, it's oversimplifying. A first round pick for those two guys, you would do that every single day, right?
Because that's your Marlowe money.
Right. And so it's hard, and the real problem becomes because you are allocating so much money to the top of your lineup, you need your picks to come in cheap and contribute, and you're kind of passing on those top. But I agree. I think I'm good with this, right? It makes you squirm a little. It makes you go, ugh. But it freed up. If you look at cap space as an asset, which you have to do now, you just acquired a ton of it. And I get why Dubas is getting I've never seen, look, our Twitter timeline is loaded with some crazy shit, but also some reasonable shit. I've never seen people that I follow that I actually want to follow and respect be so divided. There are some people who absolutely hate this. For 1 year of cap relief, you're giving up another first round pick when you need to be restocking the farm. Other people who say you would do this all day long to make sure you get that cap space, you keep your guys. Because as you've suggested, you're in a contend now moment, and a mid-20s draft pick is 3 years away.
Yep.
So
top five guys play in your lineup next year.
Yeah.
25 guys, as you say, that is down
the road.
That's
a project.
That's after your window closes.
Right. So it's tough. To me, the more concerning thing is you don't have it at the deadline. When in theory, then you would move it to add something to your lineup.
But you've added these two guys now in lieu of a trade deadline.
Yeah, and you're hoping that you're going to be able to put some of that, as you've suggested, that Kapanen and Johnson money adds up to Marlowe's contract.
Right, you bring in a guy at the trade deadline who is a known commodity elsewhere.
Right.
And he could be your Kevin Hayes in Winnipeg where you go, we had Stastny who was awesome last year. Hayes comes in.
Didn't work.
Not utilized in the way that you need him to be, and he's a bit of a fizzler. So instead of that, you have Kapanen and Johnson, known commodities, who will be there for the whole year. So yes, you don't get that splashy toy at the deadline, but those are 50-50 at absolute best.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, so we've given up first-round picks in back-to-back years now, but you got Muzzin out of it, and he's going to be here for another year. You've got Cappy and Johnson. $3 million for both of those guys, to me, that's totally reasonable for both of those guys with 20 goal potential. Yeah, right? To have a number that starts with three on those guys.
Both those guys eclipse that value this year.
I think so. I think so. So
I'm looking at their agents and thinking, you guys fucked up.
I'm just blown away that it's this split between a lot of rational people, right? That just, it's only one more year of... There was a lot of people saying maybe you just have to take a step back this year. I'm like, even if you're doing that, it's not just a step back this year. You have to unload one of these guys from the future, right?
Right.
Just so, to make it work.
See, to me, and I don't have super intimate knowledge of the Leafs. You know, I haven't been on Cap Friendly checking them out. But if you look at right away on top, those two guys who I think will by the end of this year. Be very valuable on those. You also have Kadri at a very reasonable number.
Starts with a four, yeah.
Right, and if you need to start, if you can start the load. Now those are that middle income where we talked about before, which are scary, but they're not 5 and 6.
No,
they are in that 3-4. Those are valuable and easy to unload.
Yeah, like if you wanted
to get rid of Kadri now.
Yep. Oh, you could do that.
You would have no problems.
No,
getting rid of a guy
who has scored 30 goals, making a $4 million number.
Yeah, and so to me, as much as I hate that, to me the Leafs are helping themselves.
Yeah,
and you had to do that. And that first to me is down the road.
Yep.
Right. And in this boom and bust cap mentality that we have to be in, this is the way to go. You have to live for now if you're the Leafs. It's like when they talk about Rutherford going.
Yep.
We're going to maximize our Malkin Crosby.
As long
time.
As those two guys are in my lineup, we're never rebuilding, their stance.
And now you have a much younger core.
Sure.
But you do have, in their case, it's the constraint of age. You have the constraint of salary.
Yeah.
Right? That cap is not helping you.
No, especially being lower than it was predicted to be.
And people think $1 million or $1.5 million, who cares? You're like, yeah.
I can't believe how much I'm seeing that. Like, oh, teams, what's his name? Sean Simpson from there. He's like, oh, that's nothing for now. Yeah, for Ottawa, who's not going to be anywhere close to it, for those of us pressed up against it.
Yeah, well, what he's saying is if you look at it and go, $81.5 million to spread over your team is a lot.
Yes.
Okay, that's true if I'm compiling a team today.
Yep.
Walking down the grocery aisle going, Matthews, I'll take a Muzzin, I'll take a Freddie Anderson.
Leave that Zaitsev.
Yeah, but this is exactly, what's the expiration date on that Marlo one? No, I'll leave that behind too. Look, it's already going brown.
Yeah. No, don't hate on Brown. We love Brown.
Well, he's going too, man.
Yeah,
that's
sure
what
he is.
And
yes.
So if you look at it and you go, 81.5 is good if I can fill my cart today.
Right.
But I got
it's already full,
I got shit
man.
From last week's groceries. Right. The budget is small.
Yeah.
So I disagree with him there as well.
I do too.
And so, you got to live for today.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll see you next June and we'll see what we got to do then.
Right.
Right. And you have to make, and the good guys do it. You have to make painful decisions to continue to compete.
Well, if you don't trade Marleau away, not only are you giving up one of at least Kapanen or Janssen, maybe both, with that first round pick you're keeping, what are you hoping to get in the mid-20s? Maybe a Kapanen or a Janssen, but 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the best you can hope for in the mid-20s is that type of... So just fucking sign them and be done with it, right?
The longer you kick this around, the absolute more sense it makes.
I think so too.
For any team.
But when I first saw it, that's a first round pick, right?
First, but
I don't have to tell you about dealing away first round picks more than a year in advance, right? And it hasn't gone well for the Leafs. Niedermeyer and Sagan and Luongo.
And we talked about that, right?
This isn't fun anymore.
Anybody who understood the Senators making it to the conference final, they're not one player removed from being a cup winner.
Right.
Although clearly shitheads in management don't see it the same way, but...
Right.
You know, hump of days like you and I are working on a podcast.
Yeah.
Understand that. This isn't just hindsight.
No.
This
team is not that good. They're having a hell of a run right now.
Right. So,
but you better win it because next year you're far from guaranteed to be back here.
Yeah. Now, I didn't expect them to be a bottom five team.
No, no
one. The next year. But I certainly didn't see them as a lock.
Right.
To
be
do
back
anything.
In the conference finals.
Right.
And,
so you're like, yeah, that went horribly wrong. That's not going to happen with the Leafs. They would have to have...
How many things would have to go wrong,
the bubonic plague would have to run through the change room there for that to happen, right?
Yeah.
They're good enough.
It's just funny,
They'd have to be stuck with Garrett Sparks in net. That would be it.
That maybe would, they could, that maybe would they kill
could,
us.
Maybe they could get McElhaney back.
Yeah. You'd take him at this point.
Of course you would.
Yeah. I think as you kind of look around, it's crazy to me to see how many people I saw numerous tweets that said along the lines of, we've been fucked since Dubas signed John Tavares. This was never all going to fit. You go, are you seriously blaming him for signing, at worst, a top 10 center in the league and letting Lou off the hook for signing Zaitsev to 7 years and Marlowe for the third year? And, like, this has been my thing all along, man. That's a lot of term for... You don't trim from the top, right? Like... You find a way. You get Marner, Matthews, Nylander, and you find a way to get Tavares in there. And I'm sorry, Connor Brown, you got to go, man. Like, you don't start, well, I guess we have to deal Nylander, or we shouldn't assign Tavares. No, that's not where the cuts come from.
Yeah.
Get down in the lineup. Get rid of Hyman if you have to at $2 million. Get rid of Brown at $2 million. Don't trim from the fucking top.
You looked at, because idiots. Because Tavares is a guy that gets taken up by 25 other teams.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
At that money.
Yep.
At $11 million.
Yeah. If he becomes unrestricted tomorrow, he's getting a raise from 11. Yes. He just scored 47 goals, man.
Okay. All right. I'm saying they're taking him on a trade is all I'm saying. I'm not sure I'm giving him a raise.
Okay.
San Jose
was paying more. Boston was paying more. New York was paying more.
I'm taking him at that. Okay. Yeah, well, and really, we've seen they're going to give Carlson 11.5.
Yeah, so.
But that doesn't make it right.
Nope.
So this is all I'm saying.
Okay.
We're agreeing in principle on the same thing. He's being taken.
I just can't believe you would blame, say it was dumb to sign Tavares because now you can't keep Connor Brown.
But that's Leaf fans, man.
Yeah, well.
Not smart.
We're dumb.
This is it. But as I said to you a bunch of times, right, the dog shits on his carpet. It's a dog, man. You can't get angry at it. That's a Leaf fan.
Do you want to go to New Jersey next, or do you want to go to Ottawa next? Because I think New Jersey, we didn't talk about it before, and it's worth mentioning what they've been able to do this weekend, too.
For sure. And let's touch briefly on Ottawa.
Yeah.
I know anybody out there who's listening is rolling their eyes. I'm rolling my eyes, too. So we won't spend a pile of time here.
Or touching on the Canadian teams.
I certainly did not mind their choices.
Okay.
But I am absolutely on board. The top three picks,
right?
And I don't, honestly, to me, I looked at their deep dive, and I went, okay, who cares,
right?
Especially when you flip
fifth round pick,
flip these for your to move up,
right?
So
they take Lassie Thompson in the first round.
Lassie Thompson at 19.
It's a weird name.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Like,
and I'm like,
it's a very North American last name, but very Finnish first.
Yes, and so to me, taking Shane Pinto at 32. And then
the goalie.
Soderberg.
Sure.
The Danish goalie.
Right.
Who's 6'8".
Yes.
Playing for Medicine Hat, right? And now they're saying super athletic.
I didn't mind that pick.
Right.
For what I know about
third-rounders. But again, I look at it and go, all right, but we just signed Joey DeCord. Right? Who's fresh out of the NCAA.
You already got the other Swedish
kid. Gustafsson and Hogberg. We have three guys on NHL contracts. They got a guy whose name escapes me who's playing for Spokane or whatever. And you're like, who's a young guy still playing junior? And you're like, it seems like an odd pick. Now, clearly he can play two more years of junior.
Yeah.
Or one more year. And as a Euro, you can put him in the AHL.
Yeah.
Right? But again, man, at this point now, the fucking cupboard is full of goalies.
Right.
And again, now you look at, I like, you know, you'd sent me that tweet of where everyone had Lassie Thompson.
Yeah, the first rounder. So to me, the most telling one, just before I let you take off, Bob McKenzie had gone 18 for 18 in terms of how he thought this was going to. Now, they weren't all in the exact same order, but he had his top 18 guys were the top 18 picks. And then he got to 19. Who's picking? It's Ottawa. And we're going way the fuck off his list. And he's just one guy.
Yeah, but
so that's when I sent you the list of the other.
Did Bob have Moritz Seider go in the top 18?
Yes.
Okay.
Just not at 4 or wherever the fuck he ended up going.
Six, I think.
But he had him in the top 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob's gold.
Yeah.
And Bob had Lassie Thompson as a first, but he had him at 30.
30, yep.
And this is what I was going to say is... Between Pinto, especially, and Lassie Thompson, to me, you can almost hold on and get Lassie Thompson maybe with
at
that 32.
Yes. Probably, because that's in that neighborhood.
And you can get Pinto. You have then a 41 or a 42.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't get Soderberg, whatever his name is, Danish goalie guy.
Yeah.
Later. Like, to me, everything was too early, man.
Well, and that's it. And Bonks Mullet, who we reference all the time, he's a good follow on Twitter if you're a Sens fan. He put out a quote that said, anytime you have a chance to draft all your guys around ahead of where everyone else would to, you have to do it.
Like, yeah.
That was the vibe I was getting off Sens Twitter, was just, I don't know. Like, I guess you're the experts. You know better than me. Why are you picking all these guys a good 10 spots ahead of where everyone else has them? And I only looked as far as the first two rounds, to be honest with you. I don't know shit about.
Soderberg came right after.
Right.
Right after Pinto, though, because they moved up.
Okay.
They flipped their. They had that 32, and then they had 42 or 43.
Right.
They moved up to 37 to get the Danish goalie.
Right.
Yeah. If anything else. The one strong point of the Senators franchise has been their amateur drafting.
Yep.
Like, to me, they have gone out and under Dorion, who is a head scout.
That's his thing.
And man, since he's been the head scout,
yep.
They have drafted extremely well. So,
And our buddy AJ Jakubek is bullish on the Sens draft. So
I have to wait and see. And usually, if I'm hating the Sens first round pick,
It usually turns out to be
pretty good, right? So that is my early indication. Is
ooh,
like,
fuck you, Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, or Marian Hossa, sure, or Martin Havlat. You look at all those guys and you're like, fuck, I hate that. That's a bad pick, man. Right. Oh.
Whoops.
All right. Good. So, but those sorts of things, right? If I recoil from the pick,
yeah,
it turns out pretty good.
Did you recoil from these?
Yeah, from the first one for sure.
Right.
I certainly watched that and went, fuck, are you kidding me? Now, the next day, Chris Stevenson in The Athletic had a nice article, right, on him where he spoke to Adam Foote,
right,
who was Lassie Thompson's head coach in Kelowna.
Okay.
Right, so Adam Foote is saying.
Well, and Kelowna's known to just churn out the defenseman, man.
Such guys like Keith Weber, Tyson Berry, just.
Luke Shen.
Okay. Sure.
I sure believe, to be honest with you, I believe Luke Shen committed Kelowna fine and we wrecked him. That's sort of the way I see that.
So. Okay. But yeah, still, yeah. that is a first round pick.
Yep.
Coming out of Kelowna.
Yep.
Right. And we're missing guys because they went through.
Oh, for sure, man. Because
Kelowna is like the University of North Dakota. That is a goalie
hotspot
or factory. Right. And so if you look at. Where am I going? So Adam Foote was saying, yeah, that's a stud pick.
Right.
You know, he's biased.
Sure.
Clearly he's had him for a year.
Yep.
But he's saying, great skater, great IQ, hell of a shot.
Right.
And now it's worth noting too on Lassie Thompson, he is 9 days away from being eligible for last year's draft.
Okay.
So while he's
a year ahead of everybody.
He is virtually a year ahead of everybody else,
yeah.
Which also casts a little more shadow on this pick, right?
Yeah.
I like him. To me, he again is drafting to what we already have.
Right.
In terms of young mobile defensemen.
Right.
You're like, fuck, this is a team crying out.
Well, after the second round pick, Brian 5 or 6 on Twitter going, I know I'm like, it's all in normal text. Like, I know I'm no scout, but I don't want to be a malcontent or something, which is hilarious if you've ever watched his videos.
Yeah, for sure.
But then in all caps, like, but who the fuck is going to score for this team? Like,
so. Yes. Well, and again, Shane Pinto is a guy you're like,
it all just seems bumped up, man. If they take Lassie Thompson at 32, you're like, yeah, all right. Like, sounds good. And Shane Pinto with the next one, which was in the mid 40s or whatever it was.
Shane Pinto was the first pick of the second round,
right?
32.
But I think your next pick was in the mid 40s.
42.
Yeah. So if you take him at 42 and Lassie Thompson at 32, and you're like, all right, like that's all.
Can I not draft somebody up front with, as Tom Dundon would say, can we not draft a fun player here?
Is that where we've gotten to? We're citing Tom Dundon.
Well, where he says, We're not drafting a defenseman with our first
ever.
Pick. I want to draft a fun player.
Yeah, it's
That's
true.
my instructions to Waddell is to draft a fun player.
And so Kyle Dubas picked up the phone. He's like, you know who's really fun? It's Patrick Marleau. Yeah. You're going to love him.
Him and his eyebrows. Can you bring those down? They're fun. Like it's nonstop hilarity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. And Shane Pinto, they're like, big guy, great hands, you know, and you're like, yeah, it smacks of a third round pick, right? And you sort of go, they have proven to be great at the amateur side, but sometimes you're not fucking smarter than everybody else.
Well, and this is another one of those things. I cite it all the time, and there's websites already putting it up. Just said if your team was run by a potato and you just fucking pick the guy that Central Scouting had in the spot that you drafted, right? And then from now on, we run that clock and we'll check back in 2 years if you'd have just picked the 19. And they do this for every team.
Yeah.
Like, if you just pick the guy that everyone had at 19 instead of trying to galaxy brain this shit and go, oh, no, that 42nd guy, that's who we want at 19. Or whoever. I'm not hammered down on Ottawa.
I get it. No, it's totally legit.
But that's the thing about the draft, right, is especially for those of us who watch with Twitter open in the background, all of these people who you've never seen say a goddamn thing about junior hockey or something like, oh, I really hope we get Nick Robertson or whoever in the second round.
Like, yeah, well, that's clearly what they're saying. Yeah, well, if that Nick Robertson guy's there, man, we're on that.
Right.
If you look at it, it's like the 2015, which people are now saying is like the 03 draft or the 90 draft, right? They're saying that 2015 draft. Stacked.
Yeah.
And Boston had 12, 13, and 14, or 13, 14, and 15, whatever it was. They had those three picks.
Three times.
And really, well, they got Louis DeBrusque.
Yeah.
Jake DeBrusque.
Louis is the guy running that shitty draft show that's honestly, going, man.
With a head that big, why are your eyes so close together, Louis?
You got all kinds of room, man. Spread it out.
Come on, man. There's all kinds of real estate there. Sorry, Louis. Yeah, Jake. They got Jake, and then. Man, they drafted. But
Barzell was there, didn't take him. Like,
but they also drafted Thomas Chabot's defensive partner, as opposed to drafting Chabot, who went four picks later.
Didn't we already talk about Mike Komisarek on this show? The Leafs got Connor Brown, who got 107,000 points playing with Connor McDavid. They did not get Connor McDavid to help him do it again.
Yes. Well, this thing, so Boston, and so again, that's one of those things where you go, yeah, man, we fucking got this.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Like, why would you not go? And even Barzell went after that. Colin White even went after that.
Yeah.
You took two guys who aren't in the league.
Right.
And may never be in the league.
Yeah. I wanted to get your take on Nashville unloads PK Subban. He goes to New Jersey for, I got
Santini.
Santini, Davies, and 2 second round picks. I don't know those guys' first names. You don't need to get to know them either because they don't matter.
We're going to go with Nick Santini or Travis
Santini.
I don't
practice Nick Santini. I ain't got no crystal
ball.
Yeah. You know what?
But I had $1 million.
I had $9 million. And I took it all.
And I gave it to Matt Duchene. That's what's going to happen.
For sure. It looks that way. Now, David Poile of the Nashville Predators afterwards said, if we don't get a good look at Dante Fabbro towards the end of last season and see that it looks like he's ready, we don't make this move. But they are impressed with him. And he flat out said it's a business move. And there was all kinds of talk on Saturday morning that the Leafs were in on him, on Subban, that Vancouver was in on.
What are they giving up?
Well,
Marleau?
That came immediately on the heels of the Leafs have just traded Patrick Marleau to Carolina. And then Friedman tweets right after that Subban trade coming. And so Leafs Nation's all like,
woo-hoo!
Oh, fuck. Like, is this... And then he's like, oh, yeah, sorry, not to Toronto, right? But just the way he worded it, right?
Sorry.
He's just saying Subban trade coming, but because it's on the heels of the Marleau thing, everyone assumed. But Vancouver was in on it. There's a couple of teams that were looking at it. Clearly, they just wanted that cap hit completely gone. The Leafs were going to need them to eat $3 million. Vancouver needed them to eat.
Everybody else wanted money to be retained.
Yeah. And so when you look at... similar to what the Leafs gave up in the Marleau deal, you had to give a first-round pick with Marleau to make it happen. Nashville is getting nothing in return except for cap space, right?
And see, they have Fabbro in waiting.
Yes.
They have Ekholm.
Yes.
They have Ellis.
And Josi needs a raise.
All sitting here in front of you, and you go, ah, we don't...
We'll be all right.
Yeah, and again, you go, of the four guys, who's making the most money? Ooh, and you want to take all that?
we have a hardcore Preds fan who follows us on Twitter, and so we were tweeting about this conversation. He's like, oh, man, I guess our four-wheeler has now just been turning into a gold-plated tricycle. I think we'll be okay, right? Like, going from four top-end guys to three.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm not convinced Fabro's not another gold-plated wheel we're putting right back on.
Yeah,
so.
And I love this.
Yeah.
For Nashville. And it's not even people I've been talking to are like, oh, what's the deal with PK? I don't think this has anything to do with his personality.
I don't either.
I think this has everything to do with your $9 million cap hit, which is, honestly, $3 million, I think, over all those other guys.
Yeah.
And you go, and New Jersey's going to take it all?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're like, psh.
Well, and he is 30. Like, you can expect any.
But he's only got 3 years. I'm surprised by that.
Well, and that's the really interesting thing. Like, his 3 years in New Jersey will now come up at the same time that Jack Hughes comes off his entry level. And Ty Smith, who's ready to come up next year, right? Like, they have some guys that are going to need to be paid in 3 years, and that's when PK's...
I'm not sure Ty Smith, though, is...
I don't know, man.
Well, wait, and we'll see at the end of the year.
Yeah, sure. But this is tied nicely, right? Like,
if they give him Hayes money, then we'll...
Sure, okay.
I'm casting a jaundiced eye at that.
But Subban's deal comes off when, in theory, you need...
For sure.
More space.
And so that, it you works. Can give that $9 million to Hughes if he pans out
right.
Like he's supposed to.
Exactly. So I kind of like this for both. I get it for Nashville. I know what they were going for, and they didn't get as much in return, but they got the cap space. And at the same time that, you know, New Jersey's trying to talk Taylor Hall into staying, and you have Nico Hischier, and now Jack Hughes, and you've added Subban to your back end. You know, they're trying to make an impact. I kind of like it for both teams, to be honest with you.
You know what they should have done was they should have seen if Nashville was willing to give up one of their goalies. Because Kincaid and Schneider.
Yeah, not getting that shit done.
Honestly, Schneider going a 365 days in between wins. And you go, yeah, we're going to put this cannon right in the middle of this big canoe. Because what are you going to do now, man?
Your
goalies suck.
Do you like this for New Jersey? Do you think Subban's wearing down? Would you have done it? Would you have taken on all that?
Yes, I would.
I would too.
For the 3 years that they have left, you know, he'll be 33. He still skates unbelievably well.
Yeah.
He's a puck transporter. He is still all those things
he's got
you want in this game.
Bomb on the power
for
play.
For sure. Like I still like him. I don't know what he's doing in the change room. I'm not sure if his personality. You see him on Instagram.
Is he like.
He's running around. He's like, I got no devil swag, but. You know, and he's shouting and he's...
Is he like Kellen Winslow in the locker room? Is that why he keeps getting punted to the next team?
Well, I'm not sure if that's what's happening there, but...
Could be. Check out the last audio Whiplash, folks.
But he is certainly a big personality.
Yeah.
But again, to me, this had everything to do with the full retention of the salary.
Yeah.
Right? And so the Yossi, and again, I firmly believe... They're looking at Matt Duchene with that.
I do too.
With that money. And you go, if you can get rid of Turris and his, whatever, he's got four more years at $6 million.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, you're going to have to eat some of that. If that's going anywhere else,
right.
Check what LA's doing. Hey, Rob.
Going down.
Hey, Rob Blake.
Keep that guy on speed dial.
What's up?
And Minnesota's lost their fucking mind too. Keep that guy on. Paul Fenton, everyone thought was going to be the next great GM. He keeps. Doing some wild shit. Maybe give him a shot.
Yeah, well, and if Fletcher is going to give Hayes $7 million and take on Niskanen and whoever else he can get his hands on.
Sure.
And Braun, again, that's a guy who I was surprised by how old he is.
Yeah, I think he's like 34 or...
Yeah, 33 or whatever. But yeah, in that range, and you go, oof.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Braun was looking at going, yeah, they signed Carlson again. Right on!
Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
It's me.
Okay, exactly. I'm that guy. Okay, Jonesy, I'll see you in Philly.
Yeah, for sure.
As San Jose looks to flip Martin Jones, but
I'm telling you folks, don't answer the phone when Doug Wilson calls.
This is it, because somebody else has got to catch that anvil.
Yeah, for sure. Man, it's been a crazy week. We got Monday morning, I believe, the UFA interview period opens.
The legal tampering window.
Wednesday. The RFA tampering thing goes. I thought we'd get more into Marner a little bit. He's threatening to visit other teams, which if Nylander had done a year ago, he'd have been lynched in the fucking streets. But
yeah, well, that's his crazy ass agent. We keep talking about that. That guy's whatever his name is.
He's blowing it. I texted you. I don't know how you turn Toronto's most beloved son into a fucking pariah in just a matter of weeks. But people are not happy with
you
Mitch.
You only like, have one client and you micromanage him.
Like, just shut the fuck up and get the deal done, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm not suggesting this jackass only has one client. No. But to me, he is not in a...
Well, he also had Johnny Gaudreau, who he had to sit out for camp and then settle with Calgary's number to begin with. Like, he lost that negotiation hard, too, so... Okay. I don't know what his Darren Ferris. I don't know what his deal. Some fucking Ferris's, eh? They do weird shit.
For sure. not smart. No. Yeah, I'm jumping boat. If I'm
for sure.
If I'm looking around.
Being repped by a Ferris.
I've seen how you've handled that over there.
right.
And Johnny Gaudreau at that time was he was in a position of strength, right?
Yep.
Talent-wise and results-wise. And you parlayed that into the Flames number.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like six and change.
Yeah. So we'll see come Wednesday. I think we'll be back in here Wednesday for another show. We'll update that because by then we'll know a little bit more in terms of what his touring plans are. We've never seen an RFA do that. I guess it's within his rights as a free agent to.
Yeah, but you've seen how many people have you know, casually started to sign their own guys.
Yep.
Ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not waiting for July 1st. Forget it.
And I do think that was part of the, like. I wonder if, just as we wrap this up, if you had dealt Marlowe on July 2nd, if you could have done it for a second round pick because now you've paid the bonus.
Whoa.
But you couldn't wait to the first because now Marner can be offer sheeted, right? So you needed that done to give yourself
room. And more than Marner, to me, it's Johnsson and Kapanen who are you looking at. Now,
because that was only going to cost teams a second round pick to offer sheet one of those guys in that range. And I'd do that.
And slightly overpay. Give them four.
Yep. And you'd be fine with that. Right.
With the second pick.
Yep.
Now, what people don't understand is...
Oh, this could be anything.
Yeah, for sure it could. But Kapanen's got to want to come to Ottawa, right? In order for him to sign that offer sheet.
Yep.
But he very clearly... And Johnsson, but Kapanen for sure, very clearly wanted to stay a Leaf.
Yes, he does.
And so to me, I think you take...
Well, I think Mitch does.
Yeah. This isn't even about Mitch.
No,
but,
I know.
But to me, people talk about, you got to be sure you're going to have to wickedly overpay Marner and give up the four firsts.
That's what I was just going to say. How many teams can give up four first-round picks and give him the overpayment that would lure him out of Toronto and then be happy with that? If you can find that... I guess good for you, man. But
I'm giving Kapanen $4 million or $3.9 million
and a second round
and
pick.
That
for sure. Like, to me, that was way scarier than.
And that's what I'm saying. So to me, it's not even the July 1st Marner offer sheet.
Right.
It's those two.
I think Lou's gonna do it.
It's those two
fuckhead.
Yeah, it's those two low hanging pieces of fruit you got there.
No, for sure. I think it's going to be another interesting week. We got, like I said, all the free agency stuff coming up, and then July 1st is always big. So we'll be back in touch with these before then, no doubt, unless, you know, we crash the whole empire again.
But, hey man, good show.
I think so too, man. Why don't we wind this one down? You can give us a follow on Twitter at Talkane Audio, Instagram. We throw all the beers and
let's order wings. Yeah, we can order wings.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Great idea.
We'll wind this one down. That's Talkane Sports for another week, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.